Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by Lullabot Consulting. Whether you need technical architecture, developer support, optimization and analysis, on-site training, or just general guidance for your Drupal project, Lullabot has led many of the largest Drupal projects in the world. Visit lullabot.com or call 877-LULLABOT to find out how we can help you with your next project.
My name is Narayan Newton. I work on the Drupal.org infrastructure team as the sort of lead sysadmin now, was mostly the database administrator before. I also work for TagOne Consulting doing database optimization and various database related tasks there, and am co-maintainer of Pressflow with Josh Koenig from Chapter 3 and David Strauss from Four Kitchens, and am one of the lead infrastructure engineers for the Examiner Clarity rebuild. And today I'm actually doing a presentation about the future of MySQL or MySQL forks, because recently MySQL has gotten a lot more interesting than it has been in the past. There used to be just one vanilla version of MySQL that everyone was using, and the biggest real distinction between everyone's setup was what version they're using. Literally, like, minor versions. Like, that's the only difference people had. These days, for various reasons that I will go into in the presentation, mostly political and development style of the MySQL project making people frustrated. There have been forks and patch sets, and Google has a patch set, and Facebook has a patch set. There's a consulting company called Percona out of Europe that does an amazing amount of database work and actually just started hiring InnoDB developers to make a patch set and now an actual server release of MySQL with a fork of the InnoDB plugin and a fork of the MySQL server itself. With the takeover of MySQL AB by Sun and now of Sun by Oracle, quite a few developers have left and gone to a company called Monty Program that is releasing MariaDB, yet another fork of MySQL, where a lot of interesting work is going on. And we've gone from a position where, you know, if I was going to a server and there was 4.0 on it, MySQL 4.0 on it, or 4.1, and I was going to a server that there was MySQL 5.0 on it, really the difference is, I mean, they were big for a DBA, but for a normal person, you could hardly tell. And, you know, that was years of that. With the work that's been happening in just the last 6 months, the last 9 months, it has eclipsed the work before by a great, great margin. Like, MySQL 5.1 is now pretty much considered stable by most people. On top of that, Percona has a stable release of its patch set that makes you able to finally scale InnoDB up to 16, 24 cores and make use of solid-state storage devices. You can actually configure now how many write threads InnoDB has on their patch set. For the MariaDB stuff, they actually rewrote MyISAM to be crash-safe with a row buffer, so that suddenly you have a lot more of MyISAM data being buffered in memory, which helps Drupal a lot, actually. And there'll be more on that. There's going to be it's going to be transactional. Like, Maria is making MyISAM transactional, which is going to be kind of cool. And they're shipping with Percona's fork of InnoDB, so they're working together with Percona and actually have founded an open database alliance between these various people that have all been working on MySQL to all work together. And interestingly, with Oracle's takeover, they have started to do good things as well. Recently, and I mean very recently, like within the last week, they released a version of MySQL called MySQL 5.5 that has a huge number of changes. InnoDB is now the default storage type for MySQL, which, I mean, for anyone who has experience with MySQL in the past, it's a pretty vast change. Their concurrency, meaning the ability to scale up in number of cores, is vastly improved in 5.5. They have completely restructured some of the locking mechanisms that they're using to increase concurrency and fix problems that have been there for years. Something that people don't know is that for a long time, you can't have more than 1024 concurrent writing transactions in MySQL. It just won't allow you to. And in 5.5, that has finally been lifted to something much more reasonable. So yeah, it's just you know, there's a lot more decisions to make. And for a system administrator, it's become a lot more complicated because now it's not just, oh, am I going to run 5042 or 5050? It's, am I going to run MariaDB? Am I going to run Percona's version of MySQL called ExtraDB? Am I going to run Oracle's new version, which should be stable by this summer? Am I going to run Maria's new version, which also should be stable by sometime this year, that starts having interesting things like you can actually do SQL queries on graphs, like social graphs. They have a social graphing engine that can represent relationship graphs like you would see on Facebook, and you can do an SQL query against that. You know, just amazing things are going on, but it's made it much, much more difficult to make decisions.
And so how do you sort of navigate this landscape now? I mean, usually there's, you know, one open source project that tries to kind of like have one sort of thing that works for most people, but it sounds like there's getting to be like these very specific use cases for these different flavors of MySQL now. So like, how would you, if you were to sort of like characterize, how does that get translated into what type of sites people want to build, going back to like these decision points that people will have to make?
Well, honestly, at this point, a lot of times for most people, the decision is going to be made by your system administrator, and then you're just going to have to live with it. But so this stuff is going to trickle down to normal hosting after a while. 5.1 is already hit, and a lot of people are using the InnoDB plugin. So a lot of people are just going to see performance improvements out of the box. For the bigger sites that have to choose which MySQL to use, a lot of them are going to be looking very closely at Percona's build because it is less intrusive than what Maria did. Maria's fork of MySQL is a true fork. They are actually making pretty big changes to the core server itself. Percona is making big changes to the InnoDB engine, but the server itself, there's not a whole lot they've done. They've definitely fixed some logging issues and have made it so you can get a lot more information out of MySQL, but the number of patches they've actually applied against core, they're not hacking core as much as the others. So that is pretty good for a system administrator point of view because they can control what's changed. They can limit a lot of the big changes to the InnoDB plugin, which is a little easier to test. And, you know, with all these big changes comes a risk, and that's one way to mitigate the risk. However, with how much support Maria is getting right now because of Monty program, which is, Monty was the founder of MySQL, and he started this company and is getting a lot more support contracts, a lot more corporate support. And so they're going to have a support staff, and they can actually provide the kind of support that MySQL AB would have before. So they're going to be good, but I think they're going to be good maybe a few months off because we need some big sites on Maria to really test it. Like, I really love what Maria's looking like, but I'm definitely going to run it as a slave server for a while to prove itself before I'm ever going to put in a master server, whereas I'm already running the Percona patch set as a master server because I know exactly what they've done. With Maria, the change set is just too big. It's a risk there. Oracle's release is actually one of the most interesting ones, and I'm really interested in what they're doing with it because whether you like Oracle or not, and whether you like what they've been doing with their new open source assets or not, they are pretty good at databases, and they've been doing pretty well with the InnoDB team. They're not great at all at letting you see what the team is doing, but on the other hand, MySQL AB wasn't either, so I can't really be that hard on them for that. And there's a lot of just anger at Oracle right now that isn't that based on technical fact. Yeah, so it'd be really interesting to see what they do because they, of course, have the support structure that mitigates a lot of their risk because they're there to back it up. But 5.5 is still a development release. It's beta. That's going to be a couple months off as well. So right now, the Percona patch set is definitely the one that I'm watching most closely because the risk is pretty low there and the gains are great. Like, I have a graph in the slides I was just preparing that shows huge performance, almost a double performance increase for their InnoDB plugin on certain workloads just because it can utilize the disk better. Like, that was actually the major benefit on that graph. So they're one of the more interesting ones right now. About 6 months, Maria and Oracle's going to be interesting.
And finally, as a database administrator type and someone who works at, you know, high-performance sites with Tag1, what's a process that you go through in order to sort of like distinguish like hard numbers, like the differences between these different databases, and like, what are you actually looking at in terms of metrics and tools?
Well, that's a rat's nest. Honestly, a lot of times what I see is that the difference in these servers, unless you're dealing with not being able to properly utilize cores, and with Percona's patch sets, we're actually not really seeing that anymore, which is nice. The difference is how much you're getting out of each server. Because for really high performance websites, the problem is that the MySQL master is one server, and none of these patch sets really have an impact on that. So what we see is that we do a lot of engineering to bypass MySQL entirely because we're incredibly concerned about the writes going there. So a lot of the testing we do is based not so much on micro benchmarks of MySQL, but of benchmarks of the site itself, JMeter benchmarking, load testing. There was a load testing sprint in Boston recently based on this because a lot of companies are doing this. David Strauss in about 30 minutes is going to give a presentation about the grinder, which is one way to load test. And that's the way where you get real numbers that are going to impact you. Like Percona and the MySQL performance blog you can go to, and they do a lot of micro benchmarking, which is great, very useful. But if in a micro benchmark, a certain version of MySQL gives you a 2x win, and on your site you don't see it, what's the point? So I've been really interested in benchmarking the entire site recently because that's where you see the gains or not see the gains. Microbenchmarking has its place. There's a Sysbench. You can go to Percona or MySQL Performance blog, and they have a benchmark called TPCC, which is great. They're all very complicated to use. They're all very complicated to get real good numbers out of them because everything has to be entirely reproducible. And you get things like on the new Intel chips that have the ability to boost up one core's performance some of the time, and that throws off the graphs, so you have to disable that. It's just really complicated to get good numbers, and it's much easier to benchmark your entire site and see what you're actually going to get.
And one more quick question is that there's recently been this trend towards NoSQL like MongoDB, and so how do you see that fitting into the Drupal ecosystem in the future?
Well, with Drupal 7, suddenly that's a real option, and it has its place because there's no question that SQL and relational databases in and of themselves add an overhead. Just parsing the SQL adds an overhead. I've heard that even the text protocol to Memcache adds an overhead. These other databases and how they can just start from scratch and not have to carry around the weight of their history gives them a real advantage and gives them the ability to target a niche use, which makes them really good at that niche, whereas MySQL has to try to be good at everything. So yeah, they have a real use, and MongoDB in particular, because it's easy to use and easy to write for. We are using it on a big project, and I know of quite a few other people are using it on big projects. Cassandra is also very interesting because it is a completely different model, where with Cassandra they can scale out writes, and you can deal with reads yourself in Memcache, but they concentrate on writes, and that's totally different from everything else. They have their use, and they're fantastic, and they're going to change things. And in big sites, you're no longer going to have just a MySQL server. You're going to have different bins of data, and some of them are going to be NoSQL, some of them are going to be SQL, some of them are going to be Memcache. And you might even start mixing Cassandra and MongoDB and MySQL and Memcache, because you can do that, and there's an advantage to that. So it's going to get really interesting, and Drupal 7 is pretty amazing because it allows that.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.
Thank you.